to know that and to feel that. And I know sort of our motto around here is growing apostolic legacy, which has to do with that we hope that we are growing not only in number, but growing in maturity and growing in the fruit of the Spirit. That means that we're alive and that we're hopefully receiving strength and influence and impact on us, and the Word is impacting us, and then we're doing our best to impact the world around us, not only through missions or whatever else, but that's part of being apostolic, is that sense of being kingdom-minded and being revival-minded and evangelistic-minded and missions-minded, and to believe in the apostles' doctrine, and as Brother Reagan said, to know the book of Acts and what the apostles preached, and that one day heaven's foundation will be built on the stones of the apostles, and Jesus Christ, of course, being the chief cornerstone. And so when an individual says, well, I take the words of Jesus, but I don't listen to the apostles, well, what Jesus said, go make disciples out of everyone. And so to follow those first disciples and know that heaven is built on that foundation is part of the legacy of this church, meaning that for now over 100 years, individuals have lived a life of separation and commitment to God and a sense of, we are in this for and believe in the power of the Holy Ghost to change and transform a life. And that's part of who we are. And I am thankful for that legacy. We have individuals here who can testify of the change that was made in the lives of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and some up to the sixth generation of how God dealt and changed with the heart and life. And you say, well, that's wonderful. That was then. But guess what? It's also today. And it has to be, as you've heard me say and others, there are no grandchildren with the Lord. And Brother Lee, pastor from Singapore, was here last week and spoke, and at times I know difficult to understand maybe with his accent and with his pronunciation, but yet spoke tremendous, tremendous messages both Sunday morning and Sunday night about how the power of the Lord is able to transform you, and how that the future generations are able to be impacted. And I realize that we are living in an hour where, it's easy to look back and just simply say, well, those were the good old days. But I believe that the best days are still yet to come for the church. I really believe that. I take that from the parables in the Word, where the Lord, when he turned the water into wine, the governor of the feast said, when the natural man does it, it's always the best first and then later that which is worse. But when you've done it, you've saved the best till last. And I believe that today. I will tell you that personally, even in studying and a portion of scripture, and I still am a little bit old school and have a lot of books, and will go and pull a book out and open it up, and especially when I have them all laid out where I can get to them. Right now, a lot of them are in boxes, but the point of it is I look it up, look up the Strong's in the Greek, and I do all. And now most of you have the ability to do that on your phone. Most of us have the ability to have the Word right here and give us a scripture of the day and just hit play and it'll read it to us. Man, never had that before. And, for us, the concordance was, you know, you had to go pull out a big concordance and thumb through it to find a verse. Now you just say, you know, find the verse that says whatever, whatever. And then whatever comes across your phone, you can take it for gospel. It may not be, but, you know, whatever it is. And just plug right in, hook right in. And you may say, well, what a great hour. Well, that's true. It is a great hour. And yet at the same time, it's kind of like if we have all of this at our disposal, then what are we doing with it? You understand? It's not enough to say, well, I've got all these tools, but now what am I going to do with those tools? And so today, I will talk about, not this morning probably, but I talk about anxiety and fear of certain things. And it's amazing that the Bible is so full of examples. I mean, you had actually even Job that had a lot of natural calamities that came on him, lost children, and all kinds of situations. And yet it is so important in this hour that we have a fear of the Lord. And I say that reverently because I know that we have a sense that we, whether it's because of social media, you know, I'm able to get on and I'm, you know, I'm not trying to be critical, but, you know, to have a president that every Saturday morning tweets out something to however many people, I don't get it. I'm one of those that don't get it. I read about what he tweeted about later on in the day when people get mad at him, I guess. And, it's all right if you get it. I'm not being critical, but I mean, just this ability to, you know, tweet and yet have all of this contact and socially and, you know, people throw something out on the internet and then they, as Brother Lee said it, I want to feel like, well, you know, I got 100 likes or I got 500 likes or, you know, I get this stuff rolling and it becomes fodder and then just, you know, yeah. I'm not preaching against Facebook or Twitter or Tweeter or whatever hashtag. If you told everybody you were here this morning, wonderful. I'm not doubting all of that, but we become very loose in how we talk about things and to people, almost so loose that there's a lack of respect, a lack of fear, we'll call it, of the Lord. And this hour, there's no fear. We don't have that much of a fear of authority, and we've seen the undermining of all of that. And yet, you know, I am saying that to us because we realize that in this hour, there is going to come about attacks, as I mentioned this morning. You know, to say, I'm going to live for God and I'm never going to be persecuted. I'm never going to have a problem. I understand that we may say, you know, thank the Lord. We want everybody. The Lord came to seek and to save everybody, and he did. And yet there were verses where he said, and straight is the way and narrow is the gate. And so not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to end up in heaven. And that's not to cast fear. And you say, well, I'm afraid. Am I supposed to be afraid of my salvation? No, I'm supposed to know in whom I believed. And yet I'm supposed to have a certain amount of respect, especially in this hour, in the midst of any kind of an attack or persecution. In fact, Jesus' words himself were that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. So if you've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you, and he said it, for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And then he said a powerful word, in that he said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. What he was saying was that because the Lord told them, now they have a certain responsibility. Now that's the same with us. That's why I said we have more access to the Bible, to the Word, to understanding the truths of God's Word, to being able to read it for ourselves than anyone ever in the history of mankind. And so it is more incumbent on us to say, have I read the word today? Have I prayed today? Have I touched the Lord today? Have I connected with God today? Than it has been forever in any part of history. You say, well, we're busier now, and I don't have time to pray like my mama prayed, or my grandmama prayed, or my aunt prayed, or I don't have time to go to church like they used to go, and, you know, load up in a wagon and ride for 5 miles and get there. And now I just have a nice car, and I can, you know, start the engine on a cold day and warm it up before I go out there. And yet, What Jesus was saying is the very fact that we know more, we're responsible for more. It's kind of like the verse that says, he that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, it becomes sin. So you may say, well, you know, I don't understand why, you know, you're trying to make this so hard. No, it's that we now have a more of a knowledge. We have a better understanding than they've ever had. And so here we are, 2017 in April. And so you may say, well, Pastor, I've heard the word. I've listened to the preaching all my life. And I remember, and maybe you do too, some of you that are old enough, remember whenever we, oh man, it seemed like, and I know you don't understand quite what this is, but there was this little thing, and it was a, it had these flat discs, and I actually remember getting sermons on records. That's real ancient. And that you would listen to, like, you know, you didn't have that many. And there were only three or four or five that I remember. And you'd listen to them and listen to them and listen to them. And then cassettes came out, you know. And man, oh man, the cassette industry. As a matter of fact, when I became pastor of this church, there was 278 million of them downstairs. Right here. Just saying, we still got a bunch of them down there. I'm not, and with the idea that somebody said, I want to digitize them all, and I'd love for you to. If you've got nothing to do this coming week, just call me up. We'll put you to work. But the point was, you know, all these sermons, and man, we would pass them around and talk about them. And man, did you hear this sermon? And I ordered them, and I bought them, and I sent off for them. And man, hear this sermon and give some. Remember those days? And now, you know, we went to CDs and we went to DVDs, and now we got MP3, and I think probably most of our services end up on YouTube or something by this afternoon, you know. And so you can log on now. Man, you can hear people, no charge, no hassle, no nothing. You can hear word. In fact, they've got apps on your phone. I think it's called HG or something. Is that right? HG Radio. You'll hear all kinds of weird people. Somebody texted me the other day and said, I'm listening to your wife preach on HG Radio. I said, wow, what's that? She was tearing up a storm. I downloaded the app. I don't even know where she was. I rolled over and looked, and she was laying in the bed beside me. But boy, on this side, she was preaching up a storm. I wanted to scream hallelujah, but I didn't. I let her rest in the middle of the night. And so not only that app, I'm sure there's a lot, and we have our app, and that you can get the MP3s, and they do their best. What I'm saying is the word is available to us. And we hear it, and we've heard great word, and we've heard powerful words, and we've had all of that, and yet if we're not careful, we just know it and we don't respond to it. In this hour, we become, what does the Bible say? You remember? Hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. I become a hearer. I've heard it. I know it. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I know what you're going to say. I've heard what you... Let's do it then. Oh, and yet the Lord told him through James in his word, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving who? Who do you deceive?
Yourself.
Because he said, you can hear this all the time and then just simply not respond. I wish I could say to you that everybody that will hear me preach today will respond to the word. And yet I know that that's up to you. That's up to me, whether I respond to the word. And yet Jesus said, because I've told you now what to do, because I've spoken to you, now it becomes your responsibility. And so we have people that, you know, we hear the word and, well, I know, and I've talked to folks and I understand that. Well, I gotta admit, I felt something. Yeah, I understand. But, you know, I'll do it later. Not right now. That doesn't really apply to me. I don't understand it. I'm waiting. And yet, he said he's like a man who looks in the glass, sees his natural face, goes away, and forgets what manner of man he is. And that's kind of where our hour is. We're going so fast. You know, it's kind of like running by a mirror and just taking a moment and saying, oh, yeah, boom, all right, out the door. And I'm not going to do anything about it. I look at my hair's all flumped to the side. Just look at it and go on. Well, how foolish. And yet, when you read in the Bible, like on the day of Pentecost, the Acts, the second chapter, and Simon Peter, they came busting out of there and had the Holy Ghost and were speaking in other tongues, and people gathered around and were amazed and said, what is going on? Are these people drunk? What's happening? Why are you responding that way? And Simon began to tell them. You can read the sermon in the second chapter of Acts. And he told them, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This came because the Lord was crucified, and he was opened the door for us to receive his spirit. They told us to go to Jerusalem, and he began to preach a little sermon. And what did they say whenever they heard the sermon? What can we do? And yet, if we're not careful in this hour, how we respond is, well, that was a pretty good word. I never thought of that. I hadn't put that together. You mean to tell me Joel said that? I need to go home and study that a little more. What? I'm not sure I believe that Joel had reference to the Holy Ghost. Let me read that whole chapter. I need to read that whole book a minute. I need to see exactly. I don't fully understand. That's not how they responded. They simply said, what can we do? What shall we do to be saved? And what must we do? And the Lord had already told a parable, and I put it here on the slide. You remember when he told about the three servants, and one of them took what the Lord had given him and did what with it? Buried it in his backyard. And the Lord was saying, he said, my goodness, burying it in your backyard, you should have at least loaned it to somebody else. If you weren't gonna use what I've given you? You should have given it to somebody who would have tried to use it. And so in this hour, we are looking at, and you say, well, how does this fit with the fear of the Lord? This is, you know, you're way off here in left field. No, what I'm trying to explain to you is that if there was ever a time that we need to use what God's given us and we need to put to use all the things that we've learned, is now. And how should we start with that? By realizing who I am, who God is, and realizing I need to first develop a wonderful relationship with Almighty God, because that's what's going to get me into taking action with what God's given me. Because you see, unfortunately, I can take and feel like I'm on a cruise ship. The good old gospel ship is a cruise liner. You know? Hallelujah. The Lord filled me with His Spirit. He's touched me. And now I'm just on a heavenly cruise going to heaven. But that's not what He asked us to be. He asked us to be fishers of men. And there's a big difference between a cruise ship and a fishing boat. In a fishing boat, everybody's got a job to do. Somebody's got to work the front end and the back end and have the anchor and bait the hook and have a net, huh? That's a little boat. You get on a big boat, same is true. And yet, if we're not careful, we can become self-centered and selfish and feel like, man, this is a great cruise. And then when all of a sudden things don't go just right, or persecution or something happens, I can feel like, well, I didn't sign up for this. I thought my cruise was going to be that they would serve me breakfast in bed every day. Huh? I thought when I signed up for this, my troubles were over. I would just unpack my suitcase one time and I would have all you can eat, free reign of the deck. Don't have to worry about calling or talking to anyone. I would just be almost in heaven. But unfortunately, that's not what the Lord called us for. He's called us for this hour. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm telling you that this is the hour for the church. This is the greatest hour of the church. And yet, are you going to have persecution? Without a doubt. But know this, that's why Jesus said, fear them not therefore, that there is something covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, preach ye on the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, for they are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that in this hour, if there was never a more important time, that we have a fear of the Lord. And I've seen over my lifetime that whole sense of fear or respect. And I'm going to explain it a little bit this morning. But I'm not saying that you walk around and shake, oh, I don't know if the Lord loves me. That's a lie. I can prove that in Bible. He loves you. Oh, I don't know if God has forgiven me. That's a lie. He said, if you confess your faults, if you will come, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm not talking about the accuser kind of fear. I'm talking about a fear and a respect of Almighty God. And it was ever important for us to have it. It is in this hour. Say, oh, I'm afraid I'm not going to make it to heaven. That's not fear from God. That's not a fear of God. It's not fear of God at all, but a healthy respect, an awe, Yes, that's something different. This word also means to respect, to reverence, to honor, to be in awe. Why? Because the greatest fear that you have always trumps every other fear. I mean, it's pretty easy to explain. I mean, you know, if you're afraid you're going to have enough money for lunch and a rattlesnake comes up and crawls up your leg. Like, you don't even think about lunch. Right? I mean, there's something really more important to be afraid of. I mean, you know, if you're afraid of the excuse you're going to tell your teacher as to why you didn't do your assignment and all of a sudden your car slides off the road while you're in midair, you don't start thinking, wonder what I'm going to tell my teacher. As a matter of fact, you go, nah, I got a real reason to be late. The greatest fear overrides every other fear. That's why whenever David would say things like, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name to him. What was he saying? And the bigger you build God, the smaller all of the other problems become. And you say, well, I don't have any problems. Great, but keep building God bigger. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. What are you doing? I don't know what I'll face next week, but I know I serve a God that is great and greatly to be praised. But you see, it's so easy. You say, well, I want to love the Lord. And I know the Bible says that you really can't have fear and love. Well, the Bible, read it very carefully, because I'm going to show you what the Bible says. It's not talking about godly fear. It's talking about fear of everything else. And it's in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Says, for we have known and believed the love of God that God hath to us. How many believe that God loves us? Amen. You have to know that. Yes. Well, if he loved me, why am I going through? Well, he loves me. Yes. Forever. Amen. Settled, signed, sealed, delivered. Calvary, proof. He loves me. You don't need to, well, he didn't give me the job. He didn't give me the, he gave his blood. He don't need to give you anything else. You understand what I'm saying? For we know the love that God hath to us. God is what? Love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. And so what so happens is that whenever the enemy bombards us or with spirits get under attack, I don't feel like having boldness to go into the presence of God. I just feel like a whipped dog. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know what's going. Oh, no. I know the love of God. I have a fear of the Lord. And so therefore I have boldness to say, Lord, I don't know if this is from you or if this is for your glory. But one thing I do know is that you are able. You are able. I don't know why it came my lot, what you're going to do with it. But what I do know is you don't make mistakes. And somehow you're going to see me through this, and I'm going to come forth like pure gold. I don't know how I'm going to come forth like pure gold. gold. I don't know how the refining process, but this fire is not going to destroy me. This fire is meant to purify and touch and strengthen and get everything else out of me. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Oh boy, there's that persecution again. He had to go through some stuff. And then he said, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out what? Fear. But that fear that that's talking about is not the fear of the Lord. It's not talking about casting out the fear of the Lord, but it's casting out all the other fear. Because the perfect love is my connection with the Lord. But you say, well, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. But when I'm talking about the fear of the Lord, I am not talking about, you know, this sense of, you know, well, I love the Lord and he loves me and we're buddies and, you know, we're friends and I don't have any respect for God. And that's almost what we've reached in this hour. We're just Facebook buds. And yet, we have to still have a fear of God and yet feel the love of God. What are you talking about? Well, can it exist? Well, go all the way back into the Old Testament and you will read when Moses was telling the children of Israel about what happened whenever they gave the law. He goes, I was up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And it said, the Lord said, you know, here I'm God. And they said, well, what must we do? What does the Lord require of thee? And notice what he said. I put it here in red. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him. Well, you say, well, can you fear him and love him? Absolutely. Because we read the verse, God is love. The Bible also said God is fear. You say, well, I don't remember that verse. Well, it's back in Genesis. There's a couple of them. And it's Jacob praying, and he says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and he calls it the fear of Isaac. We say the God of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, but he called it the fear of Isaac. Later on, the same chapter, he said the fear of his father Isaac. And when you click on, you can do this, just put blueletterlock.com, don't even have to have a Strong's, and click on the word, it's being used there as a name. The fear of God. As a name of God, that God is love, God is fear. You say, oh, pastor, are you? I don't know. You say, why? Why would you have a fear of God? Why would you say, why would you preach to us that we should have a respect or a fear? I'm not talking about, again, let me make myself clear. I'm not talking about afraid that you're not going to make it to heaven, afraid of your salvation, afraid of what's going to, I'm talking about an awe, a respect of God, an understanding that of who God is and what God is, and that sense of who can look at God, you know, of where are we able to go and what can we look at the God. And I don't have time to read all the scriptural references to you, but let me just tell you, you can start at the beginning in Genesis and work your way all the way through Revelation, and you will find that when God showed up, people had a physical response to the presence and power of Almighty God. And it was not one of give me a high five. That's cool, but that's not how they responded to God. A Abraham fell on his face. Moses hit his face. Balaam fell flat on his face. Joshua fell on his face. Gideon cried out. Manoah cried out and said, we're surely going to die. Isaiah said, woe is me and I am undone. Ezekiel fell on his face. Daniel was drained of strength. The three disciples fell on their face whenever the Lord spoke, and they were greatly afraid. Saul of Tarsus was knocked to the ground and left blind. John said he fell as if he was dead. Even when Jesus was surrounded by the soldiers and the Jewish leaders in the midst of the garden, and they said, tell us who this Jesus is. And Jesus simply said, I am he. Ego eimi. The Bible said the soldiers fell back at the mention of his name. What are you talking about? Oh, I just come in and I'm so free with God. Oh, I am so humbled that the God of creation, that I can feel what I feel this morning. You say, well, I don't feel that fear or that awe. I don't feel that sense of wonder. Then you have to understand, who can look at God? Paul told Timothy, he said, he dwells in light in which no man can approach unto. Nobody has seen nor can see. What are you saying, Pastor? I am saying this God that we serve is so powerful. He is so majestic. He is so mighty. It's like David said in Psalms, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Why was he saying that? Was because look at how magnificent God is. What should I fear when I see this? This takes away everything else. It's like, man, I got a problem today, and all of a sudden the lion steps out. Huh. I mean, what am I going to have for lunch? No longer matters. That's why David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, my enemies, they came at me, though the host would encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Oh, why? Though war would rise against me, why will be confident? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord. If this hour is nothing else, it's an hour that demands that we keep our focus and our attention on the power and the awesomeness and the amazing ability of Almighty God. You say, but oh, Pastor, you don't understand. David said, though all this happens, I'm sorry. Why? Because looking at God puts us in awe of him. That's why you read it in Psalms. In the Amplified Version, it says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men. In the King James Version, it interprets the word as terrible. But David was saying, come and see the works of God. He is awesome. Yes. He is terrible. You say, what does that mean? It's awesome. It's terrible. Well, and I just use some examples of some things that I've seen that were awesome. I can remember one of the first times I stood at Niagara Falls and could hear the roar of water. Feel the mist, and how awesome that is, and just almost a little afraid. even though I knew there was a barrier, but just realizing that if I stepped right off here, I have no chance of recovery. But that's how awesome God is. I remember looking at the Grand Canyon, seeing the Swiss Alps, and just being awestruck. How amazing. Maybe you've never had a chance to see some of that, but let me just tell you, it's awesome. It's almost fearful, if you will, because you say, you know, if I jump right here, maybe you don't have those kind of crazy thoughts, but I get there and I'm thinking, oh God, what would happen if this whole thing started sliding? And this much water. And I know you say, well, that's just crazy. Well, they had a mudslide in Colombia. 200 people are dead. Just a few hours ago. You can't feel the awesomeness of that? I mean, almost fearfulness of it. That's why David said, come and see the works of God. He is awesome. Psalms, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want. Notice that. There is no what? Want. Well, I got a lot of wants, Pastor. I want this and I want that and I want. When you're staring at the Lord, all of a sudden, all the wants go away.
Amen.
I mean, they're smart enough at Niagara Falls. When you turn around, there's the gift shop. But they don't put it out there. They make you turn around, walk away from the falls. Then you buy the big pencil that says, you know, Niagara Falls. And you look at it and it doesn't do for you. Huh? You shake the snow globe and it still doesn't do it for you. Because it can't capture what you felt. Oh, I understand. That's why it becomes so important that in this hour that I focus my attention on the Lord. David said, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, listen unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What are you saying? Keep your eyes on him in this hour. No matter what you're going through, no matter what is happening, you got to turn your attention. Why? Because he takes away all the want, all the feeling like you've been deprived, what I haven't had all my life. I've talked to people that have said, but you don't know how I was raised. You don't know what I went through. You don't know what happened to me. You don't know where I was. But when you come into the presence of Almighty God, you leave feeling full. You leave feeling blessed. You leave feeling refreshed. You don't feel the lack of anything. As a matter of fact, most of the time you feel like, I wish I'd have had this 5 years ago. Why? Oh, I have so many things in my life, so many gaps, so many holes, so many places where I have needs. Come into his presence. He's able to meet those needs. You will leave. You won't feel cheated. It's when we get our eyes off of him. And I look at somebody else and I go, why didn't you give me that? Why didn't I have like that? Why wasn't I raised like that? Why didn't I have this? But when you come into his presence, all of a sudden, the wants go away. David said in Psalms, and my time's up, behold the eye of the Lord. Wouldn't you like to know that the Lord was watching you? Is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. That's the power of God. When everybody else is going through stuff, the Lord is able to sustain us. When things rob us of everything, even to the point of our very food, when I have God, I can walk through it like I just ate a steak dinner. And people look at you and go, how come you're not devastated by this? How come you're not on the ground by this?
Hallelujah! Yes.
Well, I got my eyes on somebody else right now, and that's sustaining me. Oh, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. I know surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the I don't know how I feel so good, but I'm feeling good in my spirit. I'm in the midst of a famine, but I'm feeling mighty fine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. When I read Psalms 103. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Yeah, but you've done this and you've done that and you've messed up here and you didn't do this. But oh, David said, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. What? I want to keep my eyes on the Lord. I know I'm guilty of all kinds of stuff, but thank the Lord, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgression. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So whenever the devil tells you all that you've done that's wrong and where all you've messed up, you remember to quote this scripture and say, Lord, I know, devil, I don't deserve what I feel, but I am so in awe of a God that would love me so much that he would kill the fatted calf after I'd gone astray. He would welcome me back with open arms. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. What are you saying? Let me go on. I think I just have one more. This is it. I'll stop here. We're through. Psalms 100. It's unbelievable how many scriptures I could have pulled today. Just go home and type in fear of the Lord. You'll see. It's overwhelming. Psalms 128. Blessed is every man that feareth the Lord and walks in his ways. For they shall eat the labor of thy hands. Happy thou shalt be. Shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be fruitful. The sides of your house. The children like olive plants. I mean, most of us want our families to be blessed. Yes. It blesses us to see our children blessed. Huh? Behold, thus shall that man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Proverbs, the reverent fear of the Lord, worshiping, obeying, serving, and trusting him with awe-filled respect prolongs your life. Who knew? But the years of the wicked will be shortened. What are you saying? I know we have some individuals here that are facing fear, physical issues, fear of all sorts of things, relationship problems, emotional problems. But I'm here to tell them, but all of us, this is the hour to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because if you're not careful, you'll get your eyes on the wind and the waves and what's going on. And it becomes like we used to sing the song, you know, whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. We sang this song this morning, Holy, Holy is the Lord. The angels sing that around the presence of the Lord. They see him all the time, and they cover their face. We used to sing an old song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. What are you saying? I'm saying if there was ever a time that we ought to just simply, I know we're coming up to Passover, we're coming up to Easter, but if there was ever a time we need to remember who we serve, it's this hour. We're being bombarded, but greater is he that we have served. I know in whom I have believed, and he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. Would you stand?
I saw the Lord seated on his throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high.
If you've been under attack, or you know someone in your family under attack, I want you to come. We're going to just take a look at the Lord this morning, just for a moment. Roll back heaven, Lord. Let me see the falls.
The angels gathered round.